Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's on to the next week for us. I've been in this league a long time, have had some ups and have some downs, and you just got to try to stay consistent with how you do things, your philosophy, your approach, your preparation. They're one game seasons. There's only 16 of them for a reason. They're very, very important. And there's a lot of the things that we can do better, you know, as a coaching staff and right down with the players. You know, we just got to keep improving on the things that we need to improve on and really, you know, have good weeks of practice and string good days together. And that's kind of our philosophy and our approach.
That is Bills offensive coordinator Brian Daboll on his Zoom call yesterday. He spoke, Sean McDermott spoke, Leslie Frazier as well. If you'd like to hear what they had to say, guess what? We have them available at WGR550.com. You can always check out our on-demand audio to catch up on any interviews and things you might have missed. It is brought to you by Northwest Bank, so check it out at WGR550.com.
One quick thing, an addition to our point about the Tampa Bay Lightning winning the Cup, Barkley Goodrow just tweeted a little bit ago what they went through, like, you know, not seeing families for months, living in a hotel for 60-plus days, 24 teams had a chance, no home field advantage for either team. Credit to the NHL for getting it done, for getting it in, getting it done. You know, I don't think Tampa needs any sort of asterisk on this thing. It might have felt that way if the 24th team won it, you know, if, like, Montreal had won the Cup.
Yeah.
But one of the best teams in the league that's been one of the best teams wins it, and good for Tampa, and job well done for the NHL. Now the planning of next season can begin. Free agency starts soon. Brayton, when's the draft?
Next week.
Next Tuesday. Next Tuesday.
It's Tuesday, right? And then free agency opens next week, too, I think.
All right.
Right, Brayton? Brayton, right? Thursday?
Friday.
Friday. Free agency opens next Friday.
Okay. So we'll get to maybe the Bob McKenzie non-rumor
That's
about Eichel
too funny.
In a little bit at some point this morning. But I have a Josh Allen thing I wanted to bring up with you before you pick the Bills. So you're picking the Bills at 8:15 sharp. There are four unbeaten teams in the AFC, the Bills and three others that are all on their schedule, and they play two of those three in the next 3 weeks, which is pretty – I mean, like, it's –
That's juicy.
It's a pretty juicy schedule. So, you know, talking to Sal Mariano earlier today about the way they play and Allen being worth the price of admission and all the fun that goes with it, all that real – I mean, results matter, right? Results matter. If you win – it's like Tampa. You win the Cup. You don't have to apologize to anybody. You went through it. You beat everybody. Well, it wasn't a real – it wasn't a normal cup. You didn't have to win any road games. Whatever. You won it. Like, the winners tell the stories. The banners tell the stories.
Yeah.
And, like, the Rams game is a lot like the Houston game to me, the Houston playoff game. And there were those moments where Allen looked frantic or – you know, you could say panic. You could just say – Sal talked about it. Like, he wants to do everything he can. He's never given up on a play. I heard the afternoon guys, Mike and Chris, talking about this and making good points about to in his soul, he is a gunslinger to a point, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So when it comes down to it, what's he going to do? He's not going to check down. He's going to rip that thing 100 yards if he has to.
But guess what? You score touchdowns? No, we're going to freak out less and less about, but he held the
results,
ball out too far. You know, I mean,
results matter.
Right,
exactly.
If you score. Look, Kelly was a gunslinger. If he threw two, three picks, but he threw four touchdowns and they won the game, who's upset? I mean, the guy has, they're scoring 30 points a game. Look, I don't want him to fumble, and I'd like him to, you know, be careful with the ball. And I don't, you know, again, be safe when you run all that stuff we talk about, Jeremy. But, you know, the throw it to Croft was a crazy throw. All right, but you know what? If you're going to put up, whatever, four touchdowns and 35 points, okay, I'll live with it. The fewer and he's making fewer mistakes, and there are more positive plays. Right. He's got four in the last, 14, 15 regular season games, and one shouldn't count.
Yeah. So, you know, sometimes people will say process over results, and I get that. Like, as a GM, you want to go process over results. You want to look at, you know, can you do – can what you're doing, can it be sustainable? And after a certain amount of time, if the guy just keeps winning, you might think, like, wow, his form on this isn't good, and you can't count on that if you want to win. I think a little bit about Bryson DeChambeau here, right? Like, DeChambeau bulks up. It's like, I'm just going to hit it past everybody into the rough and win anyway. And there are plenty of people thinking, like, that's not going to work. How are you going to do it? Actually, it works.
Until you win a major, and then they're like, hey.
You win a major, just blasting the ball, and like, well, I guess that actually worked. Okay, results. You know, the results matter. You can't take away that championship. So, Kian Fahey. Remember Kian Fahey?
Yes. I remember the name, yes.
We used to talk to him. He did pre-snap reads was his website. He briefly worked for ESPN. Bills fans like to make fun of Kian Fahey a little bit because he was a big-time Tyrod's good player, and Tyrod's still better than Josh Allen. And he went through a big, long thread criticizing Allen for his performance yesterday or Sunday against the Rams. And I went through and I watched every highlight, and I would tell you that Kian Fahey on a lot of the plays is not wrong.
Right.
He points like, what's he doing? Look at him holding the ball like this.
Oh, yeah.
What's the matter with this guy?
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it and thinking, yeah, when you win the game, which Allen and the Bills did, you kind of forget about all these plays. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying this to kind of like try and take Allen apart here, just to say I think it is worth watching when things get frantic again. That Allen's going to be doing it, right?
Yeah.
You know that they're going over that final drive. And while they're happy about how it ended, they're going to talk about, yeah, I mean, the stiff arm to the face with the ball way out here, mm-hmm. we might want you to tuck that and take the sack. You know?
Yeah.
So it is part of what Allen's price of admission is that you just never know what's going to happen. And I don't think that you'll have necessarily people that hate him because they think he's not any good. But you might have some that think, like, I don't know, Matthew Wolfe has a weird golf swing. Like, how does that work? How can this guy be good? I don't get it. He's not supposed to be good. He's, I don't know. Kyler Murray's too short, right? He can never work. How's he going to work? And yet he does. So Allen might be a little bit non-conventional in the way that a lot of the things you're supposed to do in these moments he doesn't do, and it does get very roller coastery.
Mm-hmm.
But if the results come, hey man, scoreboard, right?
Right,
banners.
That's it. Win
it's
the game.
AFC championship.
Win
doesn't
the
matter,
game.
You know.
Look,
we all love to talk about sustainable results and this and that and this and that. But at the end of the day, it's about the banners, and if it's up, then it's up.
Look at the term the Josh Allen experience gets mentioned, right? When people talk about Josh Allen. And if you bring up the Houston playoff game and they say the Josh Allen experience, it's going to be brought about in a negative sense. It was a good first half, bad second half, some crazy plays, turnovers. That's the Josh. Welcome to the Josh Allen experience. And it had a negative feel to that. If you now mention the Josh Allen experience through the first three games this year, it's more of a positive feel. Yeah, there are going to be moments where he's going to make a throw and you go, what the hell were you doing? Or, look, I get really nervous when he's out of the pocket and he's got the ball hanging out there for anybody to knock out. But if I had to make a chart, if I had my trusty yellow legal pad, which I do in front of me, and you went through, you did this, all right? So let's say I gave you my trusty legal pad. I know it's 8:15. I'll make this quick.
Mm-hmm.
And you went through
I've got seconds here.
You went through every single
seconds.
Josh Allen play from Sunday, and you put good and bad, two columns. How many plays are in the good side? There are a few, the cross throw, the face mask, the losing the ball because you're out of the pocket and you're not protecting it with two hands. I don't know, three, four, maybe five. And then you got all those other throws he made, the plays he made, the runs he made. I mean, it's just, it's less of a deal when you're winning the game and you're putting up 30 points a game. No quarterback's going to be perfect all the time. If there are going to be a handful of plays where I get nervous because it feels like he is becoming frenzied, I'll live with the 80% whatever plays that are creating wins for the Buffalo Bills and the offense, which is driving the team this year. It is driving the team. I'll deal with a handful of plays where I go, oh, it looks like he's becoming unglued a little bit. But by the way, he became frenzied. What did he do at the end of the game with 4.5 minutes to go? They led a game-winning touchdown drive.
And it's worth pointing out, there are going to be times that they lose that game.
Yeah, well, if you don't get the call, you lose that game.
You know, if you go back and watch that call, that pass interference call, he's just throwing it towards Davis. Maybe they're thinking they're going to get a call there. I don't know.
Yeah.
Pass protection broke down big time. That was a prayer. So if you're the Rams, you know, you might be mad that it's a bailout call because it's not like he had dropped back set, was in good position.
No.
Was like, oh, they've got everything set up, and then the guy got held. It was
He's backpedaling and getting chased, right? I mean, there's immediate pressure off his, I don't know who it was, off his right side, I believe.
But at the end of the day, you know, like the Rams have an NFC championship. Why? They got a call.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, the results are really what matter. And I don't know. I think it's fun to go back and watch Allen, because right after a win, you forget, oh, yeah, he took a 15-yard sack on third, you know, like fourth and 17 against the Texans or whatever it was. Took a 19-yard sack on a fourth down and pulled them out of field goal range a couple times, and it was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
There's the lateral in the Texans game. There's a lateral in the Rams game.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's a ton of fun. Okay.
I'm not
Are
saying
you ready?
Anything.
Are we ready? What are we thinking about this?
It's 8:17:30, so I'm not saying anything. Can we skip it this week? No, I'm
Are
just
we ready?
Kidding. Are we ready, Brayton? We're ready.
We're ready. Let's have you pick the Bills.
A tradition unlike any other.
You're 35 seconds late. Let's do it.
But the pick.
Wow, 35.
Oh, my.
That's
Lord.
Not.
That's
it's
not
the time for Howard to pick the Bills.
Week 3, Bills, Rams, Sunday.
I'm going to pick the Bills to win the game because of this new, wonderful, passing, attack-heavy, Air Allen offense.
Josh going to throw it. Looks. Fires into the end zone. He's got Tyler Kroft open. Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
What else can we pick? Like, how many beers you're going to have pregame? I'm going to pick which receiver throws a touchdown pass this week.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
35 seconds late, my foot.
Look at you. You nailed that game.
You know, that was actually from 20 years ago. We're just making it, using it for this. Okay.
Three wins on the board for the Bills.
Yay.
Three games coming up against unbeaten teams. I doubt Pittsburgh will be unbeaten by the time December 13th comes, but hey, you never know.
That'd be quite the story.
Two of their next three opponents remain unbeaten. Maybe they'll be unbeaten by the time they play. Hey, good news. Tennessee and Pittsburgh play this week.
Ooh, very nice.
Somebody's losing a game.
All right.
Anyway, let's get to the schedule. Bills have a tough schedule. There was a fancy stats graph that went out yesterday ranking the offenses and where everybody fits on offensive efficiency, and you may be not shocked to know that the Bills' offense has very good numbers. The three best offenses, including tiers, right, the tiers of offense going into last night, Baltimore, Green Bay, Buffalo in the first tier. Second tier, San Francisco. Bills play them. Third tier includes Pittsburgh, New England, L.A., Seattle, Kansas City. The Bills play all of those teams, six games against those teams. The next tier is Arizona, Tennessee. Like, the moral of the story is a lot of games against good offenses coming up. So the Bills' defense will be tested, and the Bills' offense is going to have to keep up with some pretty good offenses right now. The league is really seeing a lot of points. Okay, anyway, 3-0, heading to what might have been the coolest road trip ever for Bills fans. Vegas. You go to the Death Star. That's what they're calling it.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the Strip. Yeah, like, that would have been so great. 425 kickoff. Bills, Raiders just lost to New England. Patriots are able to take out Darren Waller. And I saw one all-22 where the Patriots double-teamed Derek Carr's checkdown. And he didn't know what to do.
Wow.
Because he's a lot of checkdowns.
Yeah.
And the Raiders have injuries at receiver.
They
Ruggs
do.
Yeah. And Edwards, is it?
Yes.
Yeah. Both might not be 100%, might not play.
Yeah.
Bills, Raiders, week 4.
You know, I'm looking at numbers here. You were talking about the Bills' offensive numbers, which are really impressive. And then I'm looking at the Vegas defensive numbers. 27th in yards, 25th in points, 30th in rushing average, 26th in third down. Their defense it's been an issue since Gruden got back. It's still an issue. One of their better players, their middle linebacker, is questionable with an injury at this point of the week. Like the matchup of the Bills' offense against that Raiders defense, I am feeling good about this one. I'll take a Bills win.
Bills win. Yeah, I'm not too worried about Derek Carr. Josh Jacobs and the way the Raiders run the ball, we'll see. Jacobs is good.
Mm-hmm.
And Waller's a problem, but New England, if you know, you want to see on tape how to do it, New England did it.
Well, look,
kept them really quiet.
And if Ruggs didn't play the other game, I guess Edwards did, and I think he left injured. But if one or both guys are out, you can spend all your time trying to stop Darren Waller in the passing game, or a good chunk of it anyway.
Win over the Raiders to move to 4-0 and play Tennessee. By the way, who's going to win Tennessee Pittsburgh? I want to know if it's a matchup of unbeatens.
Pittsburgh.
Okay, so 3-1 Tennessee, 4-0 Buffalo, 1 o'clock on a Sunday in Tennessee. Another really fun road trip for Bills fans, and it would have been nice.
I hate to do this because I'm not a big Ryan Tannehill fan, but I'm going to take Tennessee in this game.
Ooh. Tweet your hatred, you know, at HSimon62.
Yes.
Hashtag Howard Hater.
Yeah,
Howard,
right,
hates the Bills.
Way to kill the buzz of the entire season. No, you know what I'm worried about in that game? One of the things I'm worried about in that game is Henry and the Bills' run defense, which was terrible against Henderson the other day and had its bad moments in Miami. So that's got me really, and you know what? And we'll see how they do against Josh Jacobs. But anyway, yeah, I don't like that. This morning, I don't feel good about that matchup.
All right. 4-1. A little bit of the shine taken off that Thursday night game against the Chiefs, but that's
right.
Okay.
That's right. Blame
Short
me.
Memory. Mm-hmm. Right back to it. Chance to prove yourself against the Kansas City Chiefs Thursday, October 15th. Maybe with fans.
Yeah, the Chiefs are good. Like really good. And nothing has changed my mind yet. Even with the explosive offense the Bills have, having watched most of that game last night, I'm not sure how they stop Mahomes. And that's a good Kansas City defense. It's not automatic. That they're not one-dimensional. And you go in, guys, we're going to get 31. We can't give up 35. Nah, I don't like the math here either, so I'll take a loss in that game.
Loss. 4-2, losing to the Chiefs.
Here come the Twins.
At the Jets. Actually, by the way, I wanted to tell you something funny. You know, from the Chiefs to the Jets. So that's the creme de la creme to
the number one overall pick.
Yeah, to the lowest of the low.
Yeah.
The Jets do play the Chiefs at some point this year. What will the spread be?
Ooh. Wow. How often do we have double-digit point spreads?
It's actually not as uncommon as it used to
be. All right, then I'm going to go like 12 and a half. Pulling a number out of thin air.
I bet it's like 17. Really? Like, it'll look like a college football spread. Anyway, Bills 4-2, looking to bounce back at the Jets.
Let's not even talk about that game. Don't even waste your time on it.
Okay, will Adam Gase still be the coach?
No.
No. Okay. 5-2.
Especially if they lose Thursday.
Greg Williams.
Right? If they lose Thursday to Denver, and maybe their third string quarterback, and the Jets have a week and a half or whatever after that game, and I think, right, isn't Woody Johnson about to come back and take over ownership of the team again?
Yeah.
I can't. I mean, Gase, he's so bad.
So 5-2, home against New England, and no matter what.
I love what? The tweets.
Oh, I Grant, gotta focus. I gotta get to those later.
Grant, how dare you?
Yeah.
Alexander, why do you hate the Bills, Howard?
You hate the Bills so
Jacob,
much.
Jacob, really? Losing to the Titans? Hashtag Howard Hater.
Howard Hater.
Thank you.
Here's the good news.
Love you, Jeremy.
You have them at 5-2 going into November.
Yes.
No matter what happens, that's for first place in the AFC East.
Yes.
Because the Patriots have one loss.
Correct.
Maybe they get another one.
They have two against Kansas City, right? They're playing
right.
Kansas City.
Even if they beat Kansas City.
Yeah.
You will have, if you beat them, you both have two losses. You have the head-to-head.
Yeah.
So, 5-2 Bills hosting New England November 1st for first place in the AFC East.
You know, the Bills know what it's like to try and defend a quarterback with legs. You know, well, they all have legs, actually, but you know what I'm saying?
It's true.
See, this is the kind of insight why people listen to this program, because of insight like, you know, the Bills practice against a quarterback with legs. So they're going to have a good plan for Cam Newton and really not worried about anybody. As long as they don't run for 250 yards like they did against the Raiders, the Bills will win that football game, good sir.
Win. 6-2, first place in the AFC East. And a good win because the next two opponents, kind of tough, out of conference, though. Home, Seattle.
Too much Russell Wilson cooking. He will cook up a Seahawks victory in that game.
6-3. Then at Arizona, play Kyler Murray
and
the Cardinals.
Whose Cardinals?
Your Cardinals.
It's all right. I'm pulling for the Bills. I hope my Cardinals understand. I think they'll have a good enough plan to deal with Arizona's offense. So I will pick the Bills to beat my Cardinals.
All right. 7-3, headed to the bye week, returning to play the Chargers. Tyrod Taylor, is he going to start?
Well, he hasn't been ruled out for this week yet by Anthony Lynn. Doesn't matter.
Right.
Doesn't matter. They could bring back Dan Fouts and the Bills. Well, I mean, now he wouldn't really be that good a quarterback. The Bills will win that game no matter what.
8-3, on to Monday Night Football. The banged-up Niners
mm-hmm.
blew out the Giants. Looked pretty good. Still a good coach.
Yeah.
Bills at Niners.
don't care. Something's not right about the Niners, and they do have a lot of injuries, and you know, they'll get I'm sure they'll get a lot of these guys back by then. Not Bosa and Thomas and some of these other guys. I'm feeling better about that game. I really am, so I'm going to pick a win for the Bills there.
Monday night win, 9-3, four games remaining. At this point, we know the Bills are making the postseason. There's seven teams that do. They're still probably in control in the division. Going to hosting Pittsburgh. The Steelers are back, baby.
Yes. Doesn't matter. Bring on Big Ben. It's a good matchup. It really is for the Bills secondary against those receivers and the run defense against Connor and all that stuff. I know they're a really good defense. I think that's going to be a hell of a battle, quite honestly. And I think the Bills will find a way to beat Pittsburgh in a very close, very stressful game.
10-3 win over the Steelers. That's a big one. Big one. And that's a night game, too. Sunday night football.
Oh, man, that's going to be a late night. I'm not going to be happy on Monday morning. Okay, that's fine.
Two straight weeks of 8 p.m. kickoffs and also makes
I'm going to be tired.
3 out of 4 with Denver could be flexed, by the way. You could go 4 in a row.
Denver could
be night,
flexed.
Or at least afternoon games. Yeah. Bills at Denver in a time to be determined still.
But it's a win no matter what time they play that game. They could play it at, you know, 6 in the morning Mountain Time, and the Bills will beat the Denver Broncos.
11-3. At New England, if the division isn't locked up, this is a game to lock it up.
Yeah.
Monday night football, Monday night's final game of the season, Bills at Patriots.
I'm going to guess the division, how do I want to phrase this one? I don't think the division will be locked up, but I also don't think this is a win or you lose the division to the Patriots game. They'll probably have like a two-game lead at that point, have a little bit of a cushion. I do think New England's going to win the game, though.
New England wins 11-4. Home Miami might need to win this game.
Yeah.
To win the division in that case.
Yeah, I think they might too. Yeah, sure. And that's going to be a win no matter what. I mean, unless if it's wrapped up and all that. But yes, I think the game will mean something for the Bills. And it's Josh Allen and it's Miami. So he'll throw for like 800 yards and they'll win the football game.
All right, 12-4. Brayton, what changes did the soothsayer Howard bring us?
Let's see here. It looks like he flipped a win against the Titans to a loss.
Ooh,
and obviously. He flipped a loss to the 49ers to a win.
Okay.
And that's it.
It's just how I roll, babe. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552.
Hashtag Howard Hater. We talk if you want
to. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. That's probably going to trend now. Thank you very much. That'll be the next hoodie you're raising money for. We'll get a break in.
Ooh, that's actually not a bad
idea. No. I've got to have approval on that. You're using my name. There's got to be some copyright or something like that. I must have legal rights to my name. A couple of questionable losses here. Oh, but it's, hey, Del Reed. Love you, Del. Couple of questionable losses here, SMH, but it's evident. Hashtag Howard loves the Bills. Thank you, Dell. Thank you. Now that's a t-shirt you can make. 803-0550, grab a line, talk Bills football. We'll also talk about the return of the Mac when we get back. Mark Allnut on the way next, WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, we'll talk some college football in a moment as we kind of get all the FBS leagues going here eventually. Headlines, Kansas City's 3-0. They beat Baltimore last night, 34-20. Another big night for Patrick Mahomes, who, by the way, we learned last night on the telecast, has yet to throw an interception in the month of September in his NFL career. 31 touchdown passes and no picks in September. 384 and four TDs last night. Chiefs are 3-0. Bills, Titans, Steelers, all 3-0. Nick Foles, your new starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears. And Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz apparently is going to be having a chat with state officials today and will be recommending that 10% capacity be at Bills Stadium for the next home game against the Chiefs. That'd be about 7,000 fans. The Lightning win the Stanley Cup. The MLB playoffs start today. Jays are playing in Tampa at 5. That's on ESPN 1520. The Yanks are in Cleveland. That's a 7 o'clock game. And Doc Rivers out as coach of the Los Angeles Clippers. Headlines brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. We're taking your Bills calls, 803-0550, 888-550-2550. Thank you for your input on Pick the Bills segment. College football. Maybe you're like me. Huh? You got into a little SEC football over the weekend as that league returned to play. The Big Ten's going to come back. The Pac-12's coming back. And the MAC is coming back. We found that out over the weekend. On our Western Hotline, Director of Athletics, University at Buffalo, Mark Allnut with us right now. Mark, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Welcome back, sir. Nice to have you on the show again.
As always, guys. Thanks for having me. Good morning.
You know, I'll get you the question that everybody was asking the Big Ten. So why the vote to return? What changed from the MAC's perspective?
Well, I think there's several factors in looking at it from when the decision was made back in early August to now. You know, first was the testing, testing availability, testing turnaround to be able to accurately be able to detect. And then, you know, obviously put an action plan in place, you know, if a student athlete or staff member became positive. And what other data points are out there in relation to the to COVID-19 itself, you know, this virus during this pandemic. And one thing that we do know is the virus hasn't changed, but you know, as we again continue to evolve, you know, through this and the availability of rapid testing and putting together a very stringent testing protocol that is more than essentially any other league out there except for the Big Ten that requires testing four times a week. And then in addition to that, you know, putting in place certain guidelines as it pertains to, you know, the percentage of positives amongst your team. So, you know, as we move forward beginning October 5th, you know, we'll start testing, you know, our entire football program under those protocol, and then we'll have to monitor it. And if it becomes a situation where, you know, our positives are over a certain percentage, in this case for a roster over 5% positive, you know, we would have to pause. And that's something that we're made well aware of. But also at the end of the day, and just looking at, you know, all the protocols that are in place, you know, for our student athletes when they come to our facilities, the education that we're continually to deliver to them in regards to mitigation efforts, you know, outside of facilities is going to be key to this. So, you know, our guys are excited. You know, our staff are ready to go. And I know our fans and alums are excited. So, you know, that action, you know, can't wait for that first Wednesday in November to be able to compete.
Mark, there were also concerns about cardiac-related issues for anybody that might test positive for the virus, the myocarditis. What about that? You covered the testing portion. What about that? Was there anything that changed or made the presidents and the chancellors feel more comfortable with that aspect to bring football back?
Yeah, good question there in terms of myocarditis. So, you know, again, what we have in place is more of, you know, set guidelines, set evaluations, you know, with our team physicians, whether it is EKG or ECG opportunities for, you know, our student athletes who have tested positive. So now there's an acclimatization period, you know, once they come back. So it's not as if, you know, they have it, they're asymptomatic and they can immediately come back. I mean, they have to go through that evaluation before any type of full return to play. So, you know, those guidelines were put in place, again, following suit for other leagues that, you know, wanted to make ensure, you know, again, the safety of our student athletes when they return.
Only 6 games, which is the smallest number of any of the leagues that are coming back. Why 6, Mark?
Well, in looking at it, again, just goes back to the testing protocols, the availability to be able to, you know, have it up and running October 5th, you know, having that runway. And so right now with us starting practice on October 5th, I mean, it matches what a typical preseason, you know, might be. We didn't want to go any earlier because again, a shorter runway for a lot of these institutions to get prepared. So we wanted to make sure since there has been a pause, you know, throughout this, you know, beginning of the summer in June to early fall, that there was that opportunity to first and foremost, mm-hmm. from an athletic director's standpoint, let's preserve the conference race. So from a divisional standpoint, there's five games, you know, do a crossover game and be in position to have a true championship. And, you know, outside of that, what other opportunities might exist? You know, the bowls are, you know, there's still communication with all of our bowl partners and all the bowl partners in general, not just within the MAC in terms of, you know, what that's going to look like for postseason opportunities. So we felt six games is, you know, again, a minimum opportunity for us to be able to decide, you know, a conference champion.
I had a bold question before we let you go because of your role on the oversight committee. But before we do that, one last thing in terms of UB or the MAC specifically. So you can't get the big money road games back from the non-conference portion of the schedule. Those are gone. How much does it help in the return for you and the other MAC institutions that you would be getting some, I guess, TV money for the midweek games from ESPN?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously that the availability for that exposure, you know, from ESPN and understanding the financials associated with that. That is a benefit. You know, obviously that wasn't the only reason to come back, but also being able to look at, again, when we do sit back and evaluate and understand that really the goal here is to have a sense of normalcy, if we can, for the fall of 21. And being able to put in place a calendar, which we have now, to be able to play games and not have to worry about potentially playing anywhere from, you know, 18 to 20 games in one calendar year. Mm-hmm. So for us, having the opportunity with ESPN, you know, wasn't sure if that opportunity was 100% guaranteed in the spring, but to be able to begin now and then, you know, obviously be part of the bowl situation, you know, as well, you know, we thought that was a great benefit, again, for our institutions, for our league, but also that opportunity for our student athletes as well.
And finally, on the bowls, you're on the oversight committee, and correct me if I'm wrong, the oversight committee has recommended that there would be no record requirements to earn a bowl bid this year. Is that correct?
Yeah, you know what? It's kind of the buzzword we've used throughout this is maximum flexibility. Flexibility being that word, and really what that means is, you know, these bowls have tie-ins to particular conferences, and we know that, gosh, there could be teams out there that might have a minimum of four games, all the way up to teams that might play a max of 10 to 11 games during the course of the year. So, you know, for us, instead of trying to put all these various parameters, because, you know, you really can't compare, you know, league to league. So, you know, if the Mid-American Conference has, you know, three, four, five tie-ins, whatever the case might be, when it's all sorted out, you know, we have that ability within our league to determine, you know what, we might have a champion that might be, you know, 5-2, whatever the case is, but we also might have a 3-4 team that that deserves a bid, you know, based on, you know, how they played, you know, throughout the year. So it was essentially the flexibility to allow the conferences that have these tie-ins to, you know, be able to determine through a true conference race, which each conference is doing, you know, who would be eligible to compete in these bowl games.
Well, we're glad everybody's getting back. It's nice watching college football on Saturdays, getting back to normal. Mark, thanks, as always, thanks for giving us some time on the show.
No, hey, I appreciate it. Obviously appreciate the support out there, you know, as we move through this. You know, obviously, as we talked about last week, you know, we're going to work with State, SUNY, and also county to make sure that we're doing everything, you know, within the health parameters out there. And it's exciting to see, too, you know, our county pushing for fans, you know, the next Bills game as well. So, you know, tremendous support out there for football, and we're glad to be back.
Well, good luck with everything.
Hey, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Mark, have a good day.
You too, now.
Mark Allnut, Director of Athletics, University at Buffalo, joining us on the Western Hotline. It was I enjoyed spending some of my afternoon watching SEC football on Saturday. And see Mississippi State light up LSU. It's good to see that once. And then Saturday night was what Saturday night is. Herb Street, Fowler, and a game on national television. That's what college football is all about. 803-0550 to join us. We're talking about the Bills this season. Is there a game on the schedule that you're looking forward to the most right now? Maybe it's next week. Maybe it's the Kansas City game. Perhaps it's the New England game down the road on November 1st at the stadium. Both of which might have fans, by the way. We'll talk more about the Bills, Josh Allen's great start from a national perspective. Jim Miller from SiriusXM NFL Radio going to join us at 9 o'clock this morning. Scoring's up in the league, too. We'll talk about that on the way as well on WGR.
Hunt to the corner and grabbed quickly by Kuchera. Couldn't get it out. It's still in there. Yager intercepted. Hangs on to it. And a good move. Another good move. He's in. Scores. What a goal. Yager ties it for Pittsburgh.
The legendary Bob Cole.
Why a Jaromir Jagr highlight, you ask?
Tribute to Mullet Day that I don't know about?
I regret to inform you that your nominee for Stat of the Year lasted about an hour.
Come on. Let me at least get through the show.
So yours was that Shaquille O'Neal has had a teammate in the NBA Finals every year going back to 1984.
Correct. This is the 37th straight NBA Finals where at least one player played with Shaq.
Impressive.
Yeah, it is. Come on. Oh, come on.
According to a user on Reddit, the streak for Jagr is at 40 years. And not only is it at 40 years, 39 of the 40 he has had a guy win the cup. A guy he played with. The only loser was 1986 Joe Mullen lost with the Flames.
I can't tell you how depressed I am now.
Pick a year. Any year between 1980 and 2020, I'll tell you Jagr's former teammate that won the cup that year.
1987.
87, Mark Messier.
Oh, yeah, so all the Oilers' cups and the Rangers' cup. 90, Devils, 95.
1995, there was no, Tom Chorsky.
You're killing me with this. All right, someone sent this to you?
And it's on Reddit. It's a.
But how'd you find it?
Somebody sent it to me. Yeah,
Twitter. That person is now in my doghouse. I want their name. I want their address. We're going to be...
They're on Twitter at Buffalo Stampede.
Yeah, okay. Well, I am tweeting some vicious comments at them. I didn't even make it through the show. I didn't even make it through, like... come on. I've never had a Stat of the Year nominee. You couldn't wait on that until, like, Thursday?
Sorry.
I got to tell you... I have no desire to do the rest of the show now. Like, I was holding... I saw the Shaq Stat of the Year over the weekend.
You were excited.
And I was literally holding it for 2 days and hoping you didn't see it and weren't going to bring it up. Like, I told Brayton during Bills Football Monday in a break, I love this Stat of the Year. Because Brayton had seen it. I'm like, boy, I just hope Jeremy doesn't bring it up. I want to hold this. I want to hold this. I got to use this. This is going to be great. He just snuffed all my dreams. Just stomped on them. Are you happy?
I mean, I'm happy. I got a new hat yesterday. I'm happy about that.
That's it. Bills are going 9-7. We're redoing Pick the Bills. Roll the open. If I can't be happy, I'm ruining everybody else's day.
That's the Great British Baking Show has returned for another season.
By the way, that's a really good stat.
It is incredible.
That's real. I mean, 40 years and 40 years. Winning a cup.
39 out of...
Just in the final.
Yeah, winning the cup.
That's... That trumps the Shaq stat.
Shut down as many times as there has been a guy that didn't win the cup that had played with Jaromir Jagr.
Yeah, that trumps the stat.
So
I stand down
on Bob McKenzie yesterday.
This is so funny. I love
lobbing
this stuff.
I'm not saying Jack Eichel's requested a trade, but
since I heard rumors, I made some phone calls. I mean, this is just I'm going to start now. And then yesterday, Twitter was filled with the Bruins media and the Rangers media and people writing about what would it take for our team to get Jack Eichel.
Including unverified chatter, he may have at some point recently requested a trade out of Buffalo and that the Rangers were among the interested teams.
How do you report unverified chatter as a story?
A couple things. Every single team is interested.
Of course they would. I would call.
Among the interested teams, HC Frölunda is interested. Brayton, name some teams. Give us some Swedish teams.
Let's see here. Almtuna from the hockey Allsvenskan.
I used to know somebody from the Finnish
league. Wait, what? Well, the who?
Anybody from Finland?
Let's see
I feel like
here.
We should know a Finnish team from somebody.
Let's go
the
with
New Mexico Ice Wolves.
There
are
you
interested.
Go. Right, and I mean, Bulldogs got their cap.
Did you see his story from the weekend from the Bills backers bar?
Yeah, about GGS?
That somebody approached Owen at the Bills backers bar and said, are you the giant goalie son?
Is that amazing or what?
It's awesome.
In New Mexico. I love the story he was telling about Kirsten and giant goalie son, Owen, stopping for like brisket in Texas.
Yeah.
I guess the brisket was really good. And I started, my mouth was watering for brisket from Texas.
We should go to Texas for some brisket.
I'm up for that. You're going to drive? Because I'd like to get there fast. I'm not a patient guy. I'll fly. I'll meet you there.
actually, if you put the brisket on, by the time you get there, it'll be ready.
That's the perfect time you need, right? To get like the 20 hours, 30, whatever.
Start now. Yeah. I'll meet you there right when it comes out. We're ready.
Just mouth-watering brisket. Mm, boy, I was craving that when I was listening to him talk about it the other day. All right, when we get back, hey, I don't know if you've heard this. The Bills are good, and Josh Allen is good, and the Josh Allen and the Bills offense is one of the top early season stories in the National Football League. We're going to talk about it with former NFL quarterback Jim Miller. These days, you can listen to him on SiriusXM NFL Radio. He's going to come up in a moment, 803-0550 to join us, 888-550-2550 on WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.